The scripture that I'm using this morning is really just a portion of the Christmas story. And even though the Christmas day and holiday has concluded, I want to remind all of us as Christians, we are in what is now referred to as the 12 days of Christmas. Many companies refer to the 12 days of Christmas before Christmas because they want you to buy something during those 12 days leading up to Christmas. But in our sacred understanding, the 12 days of Christmas follow Christmas. We're in the season of Christmas now, up through Epiphany, which is January the 6th, or some people refer to as Three Kings Day. So here we are in the season of Christmas. We've just completed Advent and the Nativity of our Lord, and we gather here on this New Year's Day to celebrate God's goodness to each and every one of us. And I trust that you and your families all had a very Merry Christmas and a safe ringing in of the New Year last night. A mother had heard her son praying his evening prayers before he went to bed and telling God of all the plans that he had for the next day. And so the mom listened intently to the prayers and what he was planning to do. And the mother interrupted her son's prayers and she said, "Son, don't bother giving God instructions. Just report for duty." That's why we're here today. That's why we're here every Sunday. That's why we keep coming back. Because we are here to report for duty to what God has called us to do. You and I know very well that on New Year's Day and this time of year, we make resolutions, we make promises and commitments that we intend to keep with good intentions of, you know, that it's going to happen. Losing weight, quitting smoking, you know, all those kinds of traditional things that we all think that we're going to do. But on this New Year's Day, when we're here in this sanctuary, in this wonderful place, I want us to think about our lives individually, as well as collectively, as the body of Christ, here on this day, as we, in a sense, report for duty. Time. Time is something that we think a lot about, especially when we change the calendar, when we have a time change and the seasons change, and we get to benefit from that here. And in the scriptures, we know a lot about time as it relates to the Word of God. In Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 1, we have this famous verse of, "There is a season for everything under the sun. There is a season for every activity under the heavens. There is a time for everything." Ecclesiastes 3, 1. We also think about Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. And when you think about being anxious about time, and the scriptures say, in fact, it was Jesus who said, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to their life? Do not worry about the future, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own." So we think about this new year and all of the days that are ahead of us, and maybe we get a little bit anxious. I say this every year, I think. I like the beginning of a new year because I have a blank slate, a blank calendar, and it quickly fills up. But in the beginning, it looks pretty clear, and it's exciting because there's an opportunity ahead. There's things to think about, places to go. So in my wife's role, she has handed me a calendar for 2023. Here are all the places that I know that I'm going to be this year so far. And here are the days that we're taking vacation. And so I know, have a sense of where we are going and what's happening in our lives in these next year. But I want to talk more about not just scheduling events, but I want to speak to the fact that each day is really a miniature eternity. And I must give credit to that saying to Ralph Waldo Emerson. He's the one who's quoted with saying, "A day is a miniature eternity." Each new day is a new world within itself. Each day that we have is a new opportunity, a new beginning, a fresh start. And it can make a world of difference. One day can make a world of difference in what you do and what you do with it. In those 24 hours, you can plot a course and you can change the events of your life. And you can shape your life in new and exciting and different ways, provided that they are in accordance with God's word. In those 1,440 minutes that make up that 24-hour day, there are many blessings to be received. There is bread that is available to sustain our life. There are opportunities to be grasped. There are challenges that will be ahead of us to be accepted. And there is also an eternal peace and a place of quiet rest for our nerves. In today's gospel lesson, and in the scripture that I've chosen to really focus on, is Luke's gospel, chapter 2, and just this very short verse of 19, verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We've just come through the Advent season and are into this Christmas season now. And we understand that in the Christmas narrative, the angel Gabriel, and then later an army of angels, appeared to a ragtag bunch of shepherds in a field who were keeping watch over their flock by night. This was a response that took place right then and there. And so it was a big surprise to these shepherds that this angel appeared to them and told them what was going to take place and who they would find, Mary and Joseph and the babe, lying in a manger. They went with haste, and that's what they found, Mary and Joseph and Jesus lying in the manger. They found there the Holy Family. But what they did later was they returned at the end of the story. It says that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, for they were just as they had been told. So they saw and heard everything just as it had been told. The Holy Family, they were found there. And by the way, when I was working on this message and thought about the Holy Family, don't you just love that name for our little hospital here in Greenville? The Holy Family Hospital. It's kind of a nice ring to it. I don't know who decided it, but it's good. These shepherds, in a sense, were reporting for duty. They signed up. They listened to the angel who told them not to be afraid, and they rejoiced, and they ran with haste and found that Holy Family. But Mary pondered these things in her heart. While there was an immediate response of the shepherds, Mary had known about this event for 9 months, right? At least 9 months ahead of time, Mary knew what was coming, who was coming. She understood what was going to take place because an angel also appeared to her. And an angel also appeared to Joseph and told him in a dream not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. And so her simple life, Mary's simple life, suddenly became mind-boggling. It became very, very busy with animals gathered around, with shepherds coming, with wise men showing up later, with all of the people that were in that village at the time to register. It was a crazy, crazy time. But Mary took a moment in time, and she thought about these things. She had time to, countless hours really, over the 9 month period, to reflect on what life would be like, what changes would be coming her way. She had heard from the word of God. She had heard from the angelic messenger about what to expect and who Jesus was going to be, and her role in that, and being submissive to that call of God in her life. She understood this, and so she was able to, in a sense, plot that course and be able to shape her life because she responded to the call of God in her life at that time. She was able to have an eternal peace that she desperately needed, and quieted her nerves. She treasured all of these things in her heart, Luke writes, and pondered them there. She weighed these events carefully. She thoughtfully reflected upon them. And when it says that she treasured all these things and pondered them, she was reflecting upon the birth of the Christ child. She was reflecting upon the word of God that she had heard proclaimed in the message of the angels. She was reflecting on all of that, and she treasured these things up, not just for a moment, not just for a day, but for a lifetime. She treasured these things and stored them in her memory, in her heart. And so I want us to reflect once more on what it is that we just celebrated. Did we just celebrate Christmas as a holiday, or did you and I celebrate the birth of Christ? And now that we are on the other side of the Christmas holiday, or the day of Christmas, we must take time to ponder what we have seen and what we have heard. We must treasure these things up within our hearts and within our minds and keep them not just for a moment, but extend them out through this season and throughout the new year and into the next years of our lives and commit them to our memory, to ponder these things and to treasure them. The messages that you've heard, the word of God that has permeated your soul and heart during this Christmas season, what now will you do with it? Will you say, that was a lovely Christmas? Weren't the lights beautiful? Wasn't the music pretty? That's fine. But there's more to it than that. There's much, much more to it than that. Those of you who know me, or maybe have caught me jamming in my car to the radio, we'll know that if you pull up and I have Chicago, the band, on the radio, it is going to be cranked. I mean, to the max, because I love that brass. I love the guitars, the stringed instruments of the band Chicago. Now, while I didn't get to see the original band of Chicago, a couple years ago, I went to the amphitheater outside of St. Louis, and I saw Chicago and the Doobie Brothers. And it was a great concert, and they rocked and they rolled for a long, long time. Now, one of the songs that the band Chicago has is a song about time. And there's this part about it. Does anybody really know what time it is? Okay? Does anybody really care is the question. And they go through, you know, this lady's got this diamond watch and it's stopped cold dead. And she asks them what time it is. And then later on, there's a man that comes up and wants to know what time it is. And can't imagine why anybody really cares about time. But one of the things that really struck me as I reviewed this song in preparation for today was this passage right towards the end of the song. And I always try to figure out what these words are because they're on top of each other. And they're on top of each other for a reason, I think. There's a message within that. And it says, and I was walking down the street one day, and then in parenthesis, and people running everywhere. There were people running everywhere, being pushed and shoved, don't know where to go. Don't know where to go by people trying to beat the clock. I don't know where I am. Oh, no, I just don't know. I can't see past the next step. I don't know. I don't know. And I said, yes, I said, I don't have time to. I don't have time to look around. I just run around everywhere. I don't know. Does anybody really care or know what time it is? Does anybody really care about time? If so, I can't imagine why. Oh, no, no, we've all got time enough to die. I think there's some rich meaning within these words. They're not scripture. I want to make that very clear. But the idea is that in modern time, we are so busy. And when we think about time, and when we think about what we're going to plan in this year ahead, it's only day one, okay? You got a fresh slate. Our lives are too full. Our lives can be too fast-paced. And we don't have time to ponder. We don't have time to reassure ourselves of the messages that we've just heard. We can't even think about what we might have heard or seen or done in the last few weeks because it's all just a blur. It's gotten so crazy. It's why I love the Advent season, because it's truly a time of preparation and it's spread out over a four-week period. And we have the opportunity to prepare and reflect on what it is God is going to do in that new season. Having come together here today, we are reporting for duty. We are coming here today and understanding, as Mary did, that we must ponder the things that we have seen and heard during the Advent and Christmas season. And we must treasure them up in our hearts. We must ask ourselves, what is the meaning of the Christmas event? What transpired during that time that gives us so much excitement and thrill and magic and mystery? What is it about that season? And I can see the look on your faces already. And you're thinking, man, preacher, my life is too busy. I got stuff to do. Many of us plan our appointments around doctors' schedules, going to the doctors all the time, running to the grocery store, responding to email, posting stuff on Facebook. By the way, one of our members who shall remain nameless posted a beautiful thing about their life, about what they hope to accomplish in a new year. Maybe some of you read it and know who I'm talking about. But my question is, where do we go from here based on what we've been through? Where do we go from here? What do we do with life and its meaning and its purpose? And some of us may be saying, like this song, I don't have enough time. I don't care about time. I'm too busy. And the idea of that song is that they were just rushing around like crazy, running into people, being pushed and shoved by people who are trying to beat the clock. They're too darn busy. As we turn back to our scripture and the sacredness of Mary, and we think about how she pondered the things in her heart over a 9-month period in preparation, what are you going to do with what you've heard this Christmas season? How are you going to ponder it? Maybe you're just content. I hope not. I hope that something has changed within you, that the Word of God has spoken to you and changed your life in some way over these past weeks, and that something dramatic happened in your life to get your attention. It may not have been an angel appearing to you in a dream, but I hope something happened where God was revealed to you in a new way. But my friends, when it all boils down to, is it's really not about time. Does anybody care what time it is? Does anybody really know what time it is? No. I don't care what time it is. What we must begin to think about is not time, but priorities. And what we're going to do with the time that we have and prioritize the events that we hope to accomplish. Prioritize the things that we have heard God tell us that we need to be about in this new year. Surely, some of that will be time alone. Time alone with God. Time alone to reflect on His goodness and what He's done for us. And I know some of you have a devotion time, and you're very good with that. And each morning, you have a scripture and a prayer, and you read a devotional thought. I want to encourage you to do that. It doesn't have to be anything long. And if you have a phone, a smartphone, there are apps that you can get, and they send them to you automatically every day. Short scripture, prayer, and you're good. You've got that. And it helps you keep your priority of doing something that is spiritual. You need to develop your own time. You need to develop your own pattern. You need to understand a place and time that you're going to make these things happen, to become a reality. Find that time and that space, whether it's in your prayer closet or it's in a prayer corner, whether it's driving down the road praying. By the way, keep your eyes open when you're doing that. Don't bow your head and close your eyes when you're driving. But remember, wherever you are, you can pray. A new year does give us a good time to begin again, to have a fresh start. But we must ask ourselves, this year, we must tell ourselves that this year there will be something special. There will be some special time alone that I have with just me and the Lord. Just me and the Lord to pray about the course of my life, to ponder what God has spoken to me through this Christmas season and all through my life, really, and that we are to report then for duty. The great hymn of the church says, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty." We cave to these resolutions pretty quickly. We need to ask God to guide us. We need to ask God to give us the strength, because we are just pilgrims in this barren land. But he is the one who is the strength when we are weak. And my friends, Christ didn't come just to transform you partially or in part. Christ came to transform your entire life, to give you a whole new meaning and purpose in life. Maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe you've never experienced that before. But Christ came to transform you, the inner person within the depths of your soul, to give you purpose and meaning and desire to live for him. Maybe some of you have not done that before. And the idea is that you make yourselves better, and when you make yourself better, you in turn help to make someone else better. Others have tried to tell us through self-help groups that it's, you know, here's how you can make life simple, and here's how you can make the road smooth. Jesus has said that he wants you to completely turn around, that he wants you to do that 180, that he wants you to see that you need to repent, as John proclaimed in the wilderness, and give your life to Jesus Christ. Go a different road. Go on a different path this year. Renounce those things that you've done, those same old things, and pick up what must be someone else's trash and take it. Embrace those things which the scripture would call foolish, and crucify yourself so that you might live in Christ. Purge your heart of all impurities in this new year. Hate hatred. Love persecutors. Transform your souls from self-centered people to Christ-centered and other-centered people. In other words, how did Christmas transform you this year? How are you going to return to Christ and the innocence of Christmas? And really, isn't that part of what's beautiful about Christmas, is the innocence of it? And we see it in the eyes of our children and grandchildren, the innocence and the beauty of that season within them. Isn't that part of our Christmas story? As we gather here today on this New Year's Day, we can celebrate and we can rejoice with the shepherds. We can rejoice with the wise men who found the Christ child. And we can reflect upon our own families and our own situations in life. And each of them are no doubt different. Some of us are widows or widowers. Some of our children have grown and moved away, and our grandchildren live far from us, and we see them just periodically. But I want you to ponder your family situation today. And I want to tell you the gospel truth this morning, that you are never alone. Christ promised to never leave us or forsake us, and he will be with us in this year to come. You will never, ever be alone. I think the shepherds finally understood this at the end of their experience with the Holy Family and with the Christ child. It says in the scripture, once they saw these things, they understood what had been told them concerning this child. What do you understand about what you have seen and heard the Advent and Christmas season this year? The gospel tells us that the shepherds understood when they had been told these things, what they had been told concerning this child. The message of Christmas is all about love. And I believe that we are a loving, serving, caring, and giving congregation. It's evident over and over, not just once, not just occasionally or when we feel like it, but throughout the years, it's been evident. And it continues to be a strength of this congregation. But when we make resolutions and we try to stretch and distort the truth to our own selves, we're not being true to ourselves. We're not being true to what we've heard in this Christmas message. Unless we are making a conscientious effort to change, to repent, that God's Son, Jesus Christ, came into our world in the form of a human little baby, and he grew in wisdom and stature, and that he died upon the cross for us and for our sins. I ask us this morning, just how far have we strayed from the innocence? To put it another way, just how far have we strayed from Jesus? Just how far has the American church strayed from the message of Jesus Christ? We need to ask ourselves this question, because if we don't answer that question, resolutions and promises are empty and have no significance. How far have you strayed from Jesus? How far have we strayed from Jesus' command to love one another as he has loved us? I really think that's the basis for New Year's resolutions, that we are to love God, that we are to love people, and that we are to serve all. These are the questions that we must ponder and treasure in our hearts as we navigate this new year that is before us all. Yes, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. You know, in the Bible, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so even though we flip the calendar over, it's the same Jesus as it was in 2022. It's the same Jesus as it was the day you were born. It's the same Jesus years after when you're long gone and home in glory. It's the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever, no matter what time it is. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, there's a wonderful scripture which actually in context is speaking about the return of our Lord, but I think it fits with our message today. And it is 2 Peter 3:8. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. It doesn't say they are, but they are like it. What this means to me is that time has no meaning, that God transcends time, and God transcends space. And he doesn't worry about time. He doesn't care about time or wonder what he has to be at next, because he has all kinds of time, and that's not the issue for him. God works on a different timetable than we do. God understands time differently than we do. And so, as we think about Advent and think about the season of Christmas and the coming of Jesus Christ, we must also think about that second coming, that second Advent. And we look and we anticipate when that day will come, but remember, do not lose heart. No matter how long it takes, God will always keep his promises. I must give a shout out to the namesake of my undergraduate alma mater, who said the future is as bright as the promises of God, Adoniram Judson, the very first American missionary who just happened to be an American Baptist. Thank God for Adoniram Judson. Took me 4 years to learn how to pronounce that first name. Just kidding. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. We have a whole year in front of us. Let's ponder. Let's treasure up the things of this season and the beauty of it within our hearts. And let's go into our communities, to our families, to our places of employment, to our schools, and let's make a difference. Amen.